Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 294. The tune is St. Swithin, 558. Jesus, at thy command, I launch into the deep and leave my native land, where sin lulls all asleep. For thee I would the world resign and sail to heaven with thee and thine. Hymn 294, tune St. Swithin, 558.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God. In Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 6. The sixth chapter in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord bless that portion of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. O Lord God, do solemnize our hearts as we seek to bow before thy great majesty, as we seek to call upon thy great and holy name, do grant this evening hour that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Gracious and eternal Father, we do pray that we might know those sweet drawings from thee, of thee. For none come except the Father draw. Oh, to sweetly experience it at this evening hour, the sweet and sacred drawings of our eternal Father. And we do pray that we may feel and know the presence, the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We thank thee for the divine and glorious person of the Son of God manifest in the flesh. We thank thee for the sacred glory of the person of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee for his heavenly power and grace. For God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We thank thee for that profound mystery of godliness in our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst come and open thy Word to our heart and to our understanding. We read in thy word, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And we pray that it may be so. And it is only the blessed Spirit that can open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Holy Ghost, we do humbly beseech thee, show us thy power and thy glory and thy grace as we meet around the word at this evening hour. Show us yon lovely man that rules the courts of bliss. Are we not instructed in thy word that he will take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto you? We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy would bless us as a church and as a congregation. Thou knowest all our individual needs. Thou knowest all our collective needs. There is nothing hid from thee. Remember our beloved brethren, the deacons, in all their responsibilities among us as a church and congregation, and also among the churches. Many things, O Lord, that they have to deal with. Grant them needed grace and wisdom and help. Thy word instructs us that he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And Lord, grant them that wisdom that cometh from above. Make, O Lord, the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. Remember each one of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship. graciously bless them. Unite us together. We can say, I love to meet among them now. Before thy gracious feet to bow, thou vilest of them all. We pray, dear Lord, that those be with those that are not able to continually gather with us. We think of dear Ellie, pray for her, that those graciously bless her where she is. We think of Jakob and Inika, unable to meet with us now for nearly a year. We're thankful, Lord, that they can listen to the services and can worship thee together with us from Holland. We thank thee, O Lord, for the technology that it enables us so to do. We pray that as the word of the Lord goes over the internet, it may be richly blessed of thee, that there may be an abundant harvest in due season, and that thy people may be blessed throughout the nations of the earth. Let the word of the Lord have free course, and thy name be honoured and glorified. We think of thy church. We think of the dear friends worshipping at Shotter and the loss of a dear pastor. Grant them, Lord, one of thy servants, to preach the word. Grant thy help and blessing upon dear Anne, no doubt feeling so deeply her loneliness away from her family. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst remember thy people in USA, Canada and Australia, part of us as a group of churches. Remember the little hills of Zion up and down the land. Remember the good and return to Jerusalem with mercies, and make bare thine holy arm in the gospel. We think of the promises, Lord, and we plead them, not only for us here at Lamberhurst, but for the churches of God. For I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies, as promised to bring precious souls from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. There is promise that they shall come, and that thou wilt abundantly bless the provision of thy house, satisfy her poor with bread, grant the settlement of pastors, grant the sending forth yet of young men to preach the everlasting gospel. Grant thy blessing upon the friends in the Mombasa mission in Africa. Gird them with all sufficient grace, strength and wisdom. Supply all their many returning needs. Grant an abundant harvest, O Lord, we beseech thee. Remember, dearest Lord, our friend from Chippenham, as he goes to India and to Burma, Africa, and the orphanage that he runs, the distribution of the word of God, the instruction of thy servants in the way of righteousness. Help him, Lord. Sustain him, Lord. Uphold him by thy good spirit and grant good success. We do humbly beseech of thee. And Lord, we pray for the little ones that gather with us. Oh, bless them indeed. We love to hear them in the sanctuary. Grant that thou wouldst hasten the time when we can meet again around the word together, see each other face to face. Grant, most gracious Lord, if it could be thy heavenly mind and will, that this vaccine that has been produced may be used of thee to bring this terrible judgment of thine to an end. O Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And bring men and women to repentance and godly sorrow for sin, that there may be a turning again unto thee in the nations of the earth. We do humbly beseech thee, that men might be brought to acknowledge thy solemn hand in these things. Remember, dearest Lord, we do pray thee, the young friends, bless them indeed. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bless them with light and understanding in thy word. Bless them with guidance and direction in all the matters of providence. Remember, O Lord, we do beseech of thee, all in the midst of the journey of life, bearing, as it were, the heat and the burden of the day. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from sin and its power. O most gracious Lord, make us more spiritually minded. Set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Grant that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grant, dearest Lord, we do humbly beseech thee, thy blessing upon those in the evening time of life's journey. Lord, we're all hastening to a never-ending eternity. Thou hast divinely appointed a day when we must die. And then we must all appear at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Oh, to be made ready and to be prepared. And now, my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in thy precious blood. Take all my sins away. Oh, we thank thee for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin. We thank thee that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We think of the family at Mount Bures, especially the dear husband and father. Thankful, Lord, there has been a little improvement. Lord, we lovingly commend them to thee. Pray that thou wouldst bring them through this great trial, and that thou wouldst sanctify and use it to the glory of thy great and thy holy name. And there are thousands in our nation that are passing through these things at this time. Arise, arise, O God of grace, into thy rest descend, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with salvation, and thy saints shall shout aloud for joy. O abundantly bless the provision of thy house, and satisfy her poor with bread. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray that thou wouldst come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Come and breathe thy word into our hearts. Breathe on me, breath of God. We do humbly beseech of thee. Breathe on these bones so dry and dead. Thy sweetest, softest influence spread. We do humbly beseech thee. We pray for all in affliction and trouble and trial and perplexity. Pray that thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to thy word. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 1030. 3 to the tune M's 828. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son, to all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033, tune M's 828. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help. I direct your attention to the chapter that we read, Hebrews chapter 6, and we will read for our text verses 17 to 20. Hebrews chapter 6, reading verses 17 through to 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Wherein God, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And the desire here of the dear apostle, you'll notice in verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, and it says here in verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He swore to Abraham that in blessing, I will bless thee. So we have here in our text, on the one hand, promise, says in the verse 17 here, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And that oath is what is recorded in Psalm 110. The apostle, he enlarges it in the next chapter. You notice in verse 6 in chapter 7, he says, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes in Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And he goes on then to speak of Melchizedek. And he quotes several times here. Verse 17 in particular of chapter 7. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, an oath. And he says in verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, that is the earthly priest under the Levitical dispensation, but this, which is Christ, with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swear, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, my beloved friends, the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But this man, verse 24 of chapter 7, this is the glorious holy God man, the man Christ Jesus, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, that's the earthly high priests of the Levitical dispensation in the Old Testament, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. So there is the first thing, because in the beginning of verse 18 it says, by two immutable things, unchangeable things. So the first one is the promise, as we've just noticed. He mentions it again and again in this chapter, the children of promise, and how that he made promise unto Abraham, unto his seed, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the promise of the coming of Christ. He makes many promises unto his people. You can ransack the whole of the Old Testament and you will find the most blessed promises unto the people of God. And so it says in verse 15, so after he had patiently endured, that's Abraham, he obtained the promise, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, as the children of Abraham, not exclusively, because it's very clear in the word of God that the Christian church is the spiritual seed of Abraham through Christ. Christ was born of the seed of Abraham. And this is very clearly set out for us here, even in the epistle to the Hebrews, how that Christ was born of the seed of Abraham. And that the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham is the coming of the Son of God in the flesh, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In that wonderful glory of the person of Christ. So you have these two things, you have the promise and the oath. And the promise still stands to the spiritual seed of Abraham, the true Christian believer who has been born again of the Spirit. We read in chapter 2 of the incarnation of the Son of God. And it says in verse 14 of chapter 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's to us as well as unto the Jews, he also himself, that's the Son of God, likewise took part of the same. that through death, the Son of God couldn't die. It's utterly impossible. It says in Holy Scripture, God who cannot die. But the Son of God manifest in the flesh, he could die. That was a sacred divine act of the eternal God. Christ said, I have power to lay my life down. What life is he speaking of? He's speaking of that sacred, holy human life that he assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, it goes on here, Hebrews 2, verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangeableness of his counsel. He cannot change. He is the eternal God. He is the Lord Jehovah. And it says in Holy Scripture, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is the Lord Jehovah, in whom is everlasting strength, in the Lord Jehovah. See, my beloved friends, he reveals himself in his holy word as the Lord Jehovah. He does indeed. And he says to us in the word of God, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord. That is the declaration, I am Jehovah. We've often point out to you that Lord in capital letters is translated from that incommunicable name, Jehovah, covenant name of our God. That covenant that was made in Christ before the foundation of the world. That covenant of salvation, of redemption, of deliverance for his people. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The immutability of his counsel, the immutability of his counsel, I change not. And those eternal counsels of salvation, of redemption, of deliverance that are in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why the apostle in other discourses, he speaks of this immutability of his counsel, of his word, of his truth. You know, the Apostle Paul, he lays it down very beautifully, very clearly, in the first chapter of the Ephesians. He says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. See, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. My mind was very much drawn in thinking of this to those very sacred words that we find. They're uttered actually by Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. And what he was taught under the mighty hand of God in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. How he speaks here so beautifully of the eternal immutability of God. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? The eternal, the almighty, the immutable God, unchangeable, as expressed here in the Hebrews in the 13th chapter and verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever, eternally the same. He hasn't changed and he never will change. He's the eternal Son of the eternal Father. He's Jehovah Jesus. That's really what is being said in that verse, Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, that's yesterday eternal. Now and forever. All eternity to come. He doesn't change. He will not change. He cannot change. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Notice that. It's impossible for God to lie or to deceive. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. God who cannot lie, cannot deceive. He's the very God of truth. The God of truth and grace. And it's in this almighty, unchangeable and eternal God in Christ. He says here, we might have a strong consolation. Why? Because he remains eternally the same. You look back to the time when the Holy Spirit first entered your heart, when the Holy Spirit first quickened your soul, when the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to you, when the Holy Spirit made you to feel your sinfulness, your emptiness, your poverty. And when the Lord Jesus was revealed and opened to your understanding, there's a way of salvation, there's a way of redemption. In whatever way the Holy Spirit revealed Christ unto you, in the All those promises of God are fulfilled in him. The promises of salvation, of redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The sweet promises of God, that glorious everlasting robe of the righteousness of Christ. It's immutably the same. His salvation is immutably the same. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. You may look back and you remember those days. You remember those days. Here in the Hebrews, the apostle exhorts that we're to call to remembrance. We're to call these things to remembrance. In the Deuteronomy, it says that thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee, to humble thee and to prove thee. Now, the point I want to make to you tonight is this, is that though that sweet experience of the love and grace and mercy of God in Christ, when you were raised up to a hope in him, when you were delivered from utter bondage and darkness, when you knew some little measure of light and liberty in your soul, he's never changed. You change. But here, my beloved friends, is something that never changes. If once the love of Christ I feel impressed upon my breast, the mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You know, friends, in the 17th verse here, it says, the heirs of promise, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. The promise of salvation in Christ, the promise of redemption in Christ, the promise of deliverance from sin in Christ, the promise of eternal salvation in Christ, the promise of resurrection and life in Christ, the promise that in Christ on the cross of Calvary, your sins were put away. Salvation was obtained. You're reconciled unto God. It cannot change. You can't be in Christ one day and out the next. No, you can't. But there's a limitation to the promise. You might say, what do you mean? The heirs of promise. The heirs of promise. We've just read in Ephesians how we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That makes us heirs of promise. And it can never change. I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. What a strong consolation there is in Christ. What a full salvation there is in Christ. What a complete salvation there is in Christ. The apostle says, ye are complete in him. We are accepted in the beloved. That's where our perfection is, our completeness is. It's in Christ. That is where we are accepted by God, in Christ. we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is, the hope set before us, wonderful hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, an anchor of the soul. You know, friends, how we need this anchor of the soul. Hope. And it says here, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. That's in Christ. It enters into that within the veil. In Christ. That sweet promise in John 14. It's a sweet promise to these heirs of promise. But what does Christ say in John 14 in that sweet way of promise? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Who's speaking? Jesus, the Son of God, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Sweet hope, my beloved friends, is called a good hope through grace. A good hope through grace. The hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal redemption. The hope of eternal reconciliation to God and our Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know, friends, we miss the beauty of this word, hope. There is in our minds, and the enemy of souls will seek to convince you of this, is that there's a hope. And in saying that, there's a certain amount of ambiguity, of uncertainness. But you know, this hope, there's no ambiguity, nor is there any uncertainty in it. That's what the devil would like you to think. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. It does. It enters into Christ. It enters into Christ within the veil. You know, the apostle, he opens this to us in the 9th chapter of the Hebrews, this within the veil. And he speaks in the 9th chapter of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. You see, my beloved friends, your hope is on good things to come. Eternal life. Eternal salvation. Eternal redemption. Eternal joy. Eternal happiness. Good things to come. To be with Christ, which is far better. Good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. That is Christ himself. That's the sacred, holy human nature that the Son of God dwelt in here upon earth. We read in John chapter 1, and the Word, that's the eternal Son of God, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt elsewhere in Scripture is translated tabernacle. And the word tabernacled among us, the Son of God in human nature. That was the tabernacle that he chose. A greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. The old tabernacle represented and typified this glorious tabernacle of the Son of God manifest in the flesh. And he says here, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. This is Christ himself. He entered in once into the holy place. That is what is in our text. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. My beloved friends, these things are divinely certain. He says here, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, not the old, but the new, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, the law, they which are called might receive the promise. You see again this promise of eternal inheritance. He goes on here to speak of the glorious person of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and it speaks of the things that they've done under the law and the sprinkling of the blood. And he continues, and he says in verse 23, it was therefore necessary that patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. And that better sacrifice is Christ. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which is where the high priest went in the tabernacle, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. See, last verse of chapter 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Which hope we have as an anchor. What an anchor. In the person of Christ. In the person of Christ. Within the veil. Within the veil. Within the holiest of all. But of course that was a figure of the true. And then that brings us, you see, within the veil, it brings us to verse 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. How beautiful, isn't it? Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in eternal glory. And he's our forerunner there. He's entered. He's made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, we read in chapter 4 of the Hebrews, in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. He's affirming something here, friends. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. That is, these are divinely certain things, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus sits there, our great high priest. It's a sacred ordinance of prayer. And there's the throne of grace that poor, guilty, wretched, helpless, hopeless sinners can come to. Jesus sits on that throne. Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, unchangeably the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Ye shall find rest. Speaks of that rest in the fourth chapter. In verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, that is entered into Christ by faith, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. He's speaking of the Sabbath of rest. The day of rest of the Sabbath is a beautiful type of Christ. He that is entered into Christ, resting in Christ, resting on the promises, resting upon that eternal oath, a great high priest, he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's by wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge. Have you fled for refuge unto Jesus Christ? A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Come then, repenting sinner, come and trust upon his grace. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You're secured. You know the with an anchor, there's a great rope or chain or cable that's attached to it, and the ship is attached to it. That's faith. It's faith. Faith in the bleeding lamb. faith in his precious blood, faith in his eternal faithfulness and love and grace. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks that we have made. Let us now sing together hymn number 242 to the tune Evening Hymn 709. Good hope through grace the saints possess, the fruit of Jesus' righteousness, and by his Spirit given. Faith eyes the promise firm and sure, and hope expects forevermore to dwell with Christ in heaven. Hymn 242, tune Evening Hymn 709. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.